Let's open up to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, I'm going to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is an important aspect for us as Spirit-filled people. Of course, we've been forgiven. So Leviticus chapter 19, and we can get caught up in things in our life, and things happen in our life as well that requires forgiveness, and it's good for us to forgive, because if we don't forgive the person we're not forgiving, there's no skin off their nose. It's troubling us. So Leviticus chapter 19, just I suppose to make the point that it's always been the case, you know, that we're reading here when the old law was given to God's chosen people, Israel, and in it, here in Leviticus chapter 19, we read in verse 13, "Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbour, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning." So be honest. "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honour the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbour. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbour. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbour and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. I am the Lord." And of course it ends with the second great commandment, which was asked of Jesus. What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And the second is like unto that, right? Like unto that. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. So what God's saying here, and we're reading, like, of course, this is a shadow of things to come. What he's saying, if you can't love your neighbour whom you see, how on earth are you going to love God? And so we are part of the kingdom of God. We are the spiritual Israel. And so when it refers to the neighbour here, that's everyone in this room, everyone who's spirit-filled, walking in spirit and truth. And so what he's saying is if you can't love one another, you can't love God. They're the same commandment. That's what Jesus was saying. And so we love the people we see, and so then by default we love God, who filled the people we see with the Holy Spirit and is changing them and moulding them and to be more Christ-like. And there's a few other things in there. Be honest with each other. You know, we're not talebearers. We don't gossip amongst each other. You know, we don't be underhanded. White ant is another term I've heard quite a bit in my line of work. You know, white anting. What does a white ant do? It crumbles the foundation of a house, so it collapses. You know, so we don't white ant through tail bearing and so forth. We don't have any regard if someone's poor or if they're rich. It doesn't matter. We look at who they are, the character within, whether they're good looking or not good looking. It doesn't matter. We get that perspective sorted out, and it's always been the case, right? The God of the book of Leviticus is the same God today. It's the same God. It's just this old law was a shadow of things to come. And so back then in Leviticus, he wanted these chosen people of Israel to act in this way, and he wants us to as well. The wonderful thing is that we've got the Holy Spirit in us to help us do these things. Now, if he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us to love one another as we love him, then we need to pray in the Spirit, read the Scriptures, go to meetings and have that Spirit built up, so that it impacts our life and we start to be able to see clearly how God wants to see us. And so we're talking about forgiveness. You know, we forgive others because God has forgiven us. So we'll go through a few principles in the Bible now. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Like I said, it's an important thing to remember that if you can't forgive, just think it's you that's suffering, not the person you can't forgive. And that's why God, he set us free from this. Matthew chapter 18. and verse 21. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, you just keep doing it, just as God keeps forgiving us. And there's this example, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Very forceful language here. And we understand that. We can put this into context. You know, we're so full of sin. Our Lord, being God, sent his own Son to die and forgave us of all our sin. And then you encounter one of your brothers that has a small debt to you. It's nothing compared to the debt they have to God, right? They have the same debt to God that we had forgiven us. But the debt they have to you personally is tiny compared to that. And so if God forgave us of that incredible debt, he's asking us to forgive this tiny debt that we have with our fellow servant, our fellow brother in the Lord, who's also spirit-filled. And then, it says there, if from your heart you forgive not everyone his brother. And look, we know from experience it can take time. It's because the flesh, you know, these things, the fleshly things that the differences we have and the problems we have with our brothers, it's a fleshly thing. It's a carnal thing. And it takes time to get over those differences and all the insults or whatever happens between you. It takes time. But the Lord's asking us to have that within our heart, to have a desire to forgive, because God's forgiven them all that they have done to him. So we should also forgive what they've done to us on an individual basis. And it's a great example there that it puts it all into perspective. Because we forget how we are. We forget how rotten we are. We forget that it is but dung. You know, if their flesh stinks to us, then our flesh stinks to them as well. You know, we forget that. We live our own lives and we do things and we might get all these compliments on this end, and then, oh, we've got this one person that's really annoying. But hey, and we believe all that, but we don't believe that. You know, like we are flesh, we're carnal before the Lord, but he's forgiven us. We are actually beautiful through the Spirit before the Lord, which is amazing. And he's asking us somehow to look at that in others. Luke chapter 17. Especially those that are spirit-filled. So yeah, we'll go through a few scriptures, you know, about forgiveness of our fellow brethren that are spirit-filled, but also there's an aspect later on that we'll go through to forgive those that aren't following the Lord's ways. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And here, I read this out on Wednesday. Luke chapter 17 and verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. Okay? Just a couple of words there. Take heed to yourselves. Stand upright and think, okay, take heed. This is what? This is important things. And then there's, interestingly, a colon there. Why do we need to take heed to ourselves? If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Okay? So, yeah, someone might do something, trespass, as it says, use the words in the Bible, trespass against you, but then, oh, whoops, oh, I feel really bad, please, I'm so sorry. And then you forgive him, but then he goes and does it seven other times in the same day. You know, you think, oh, man, doesn't this person ever learn? Okay, but after each time he repents and says, I'm sorry, then the Lord's asking us, okay, forgive him. Now, that's hard. I mean, we get pretty impatient, you know, but they did the same thing seven times in one day. I used to have a say, like, if I did something wrong, I'd feel pretty bad. But then if I did it the second time, oh, you're just gutted. Why did I do the same thing a second time? We do the same silly things over and over again. And then we stand, we get on our knees and we're praying in tongues to the Lord and we ask him, please forget that same silly thing that I kept doing over and over again. And so here's the example again. If a brother repents for a silly thing they did to us, even seven times a day, we forgive them. And then the reason I read verse 5, the apostles said, increase our faith. Okay? Now, the reason I read that, it's a form of faith. To have faith in God, right? That God's got things in hand. If we have faith in God and that he's got things in hand, then here on earth, God told us to forgive, so we do it in faith. Okay? We do it in faith that he's got other stuff. He'll sort out the complexities of people's character, people's lives. I mean, everyone has stuff in their own life, you know, that we don't have a full comprehension of. We can't. It's impossible because we're all different individuals. God knows all that. So by faith, we put into practice what the Bible says, and by faith, he'll deal with the complexities, okay? It's like we cut our head off to the Lord. Okay, Lord, you deal with it, but in the meantime, you've asked me to forgive. So I'll do that. I'll try to do that with all my heart, and you'll sort the rest out. Lord, it's too hard for me to worry about. And that's the thing as well, that parable we just read. You know, I can just imagine today, I think I've said this before, but, you know, we might be working for a very wealthy company, and we have this huge debt with that company. And we think, oh, but the debt we have with that company is so small compared to the wealth of the company. And so you think, oh, it's nothing to them. You know, they can wipe it off. And so let's say that company does wipe off the debt, you know. But then, you know, we're poor. We rely on a weekly income. And at the end of the week, we've got nothing. And then there's this person who owes us $50 and they won't do it. But that $50 means such a large amount to us. But it's nothing compared to the debt that was forgiven by that company. And this is what God's saying. Like, you can look, kind of have empathy on that servant in that parable. But God's saying, well, you still forgive. And that's this faith bit here. You still have faith that he'll sort that out. So you forgive that debt. You know, we're not talking about money here. We're talking about trespasses, okay? You forgive the trespass and the Lord will sort it out, right? He'll sort out the problems and the intricacies of that and the issues that are going on. James chapter 3. And that was the point in that parable. It's like, have faith that the Lord will sort it out, you know? He's forgiven us that debt, and by faith that servant should have trusted God that he would sort that out. So James chapter 3. James chapter 3, very famous passage that is, I'm sure, is read out a lot in Revival Fellowship meetings. James chapter 3. We'll actually read the whole chapter. And verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. So in other words, follow God and his ways, not our own. For in many things we offend all. There you go. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So we will offend in word. All of us will. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. Excuse me. And we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So our tongue, I mean, it's very clear there, and we know it from personal experience. So if we keep digging a hole, try not to talk so much. That's the advice here, because the more you say, the more chance it is that you're going to offend. Verse 9, with this tongue therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And it's a mystery. Why is this member? We bless God with the same member, and yet another hour later we curse men. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom, humility. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, there is no forgiveness in your hearts, in other words. Glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So it's very heavy verses through chapter 3. And then it rounds up beautifully in the last two verses. You know, the wisdom that we seek is from above. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. You know, it's malleable. It's full of mercy. There's no partiality. There's no hypocrisy. You could add there's forgiveness, you know, righteousness. The fruit of righteousness is peace. There's peace. Where there's no strife or envying, there's peace. You know, there's unity. And that's what God wants. He wants his people to have a unity. But also, the reason I labored through it is for us to understand that if someone trespasses against us, most of the time, it's what they say. Most of the time. And so it's for us to realize that we also have a tongue that is an unruly member, that is a fire, and it defiles the whole body, and it sets on fire the course of nature. We also have that tongue. So if someone says something to us, it might be flippant. It might have actually been premeditated. Whatever, it's still a tongue. It's their tongue that said that to us and has a potential to cause strife and confusion. And so we have that same propensity, but the Lord's asking us to come from another place and have the wisdom that's from above, not the wisdom from the earth, from where that those words came from, but that purity and peaceable and that forgiveness in deep in the heart, that faith. Increase our faith, Lord. increase our faith. I want faith in you to be able to forgive my brother who trespassed against me. I want faith in you that you'll sort it all out, that I just dump the problem on your shoulder. It's not up to me to sort out, not up to me to go like a whirlwind through and try to change them. It's up to you. Yeah, fair enough, rebuke and say, look, please, that was offensive. And leave it up to God. If they repent, then say, oh, and then they do it again. Please, that was offensive. You do it politely and then forgive and leave it up to God. Between them and God, you and God, and just pray about it. Because the Lord wants peace. I mean, I want peace. You all want peace. It's wonderful. And it starts with that faith in us and that forgiveness in us. Romans chapter 7. And also an understanding of what we are like as well. Romans 7, again, very famous passage. And this here, I reckon, as we grow in the things of the Lord, as we grow spiritually, and we diminish the carnal things and the things of the flesh, there are aspects in this passage I'm about to read that will get clearer and clearer with time. So I'm sure my understanding is not as deep as what it was intended, because there are complexities here that that I would love to understand and be able to know how they apply in our life. Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore, the law, you know, the old law of the Old Testament, it is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now what he's saying is the old law, it defined sin. But it was holy, it was good, it was righteous, because it allowed human beings to judge as God judges. So that's why it's holy, and that's why it's just and good. But through the process, it defined sin. And therefore, it defined that men are under sin and they lead to death. And that's what he's saying there. You know, was then that which is good, the law, made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it may appear sin. It defined sin, so therefore it exposed sin in people's lives. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. We have a desire to do good, but then we make mistakes. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. For if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, that unruly member, that tongue, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Okay? It's interesting there how Paul has, I suppose, been so arrogant to separate that himself, he serves the law of God. That's his desire. But he kind of discounts like the sin, that's the fleshly thing. He diminishes, it's just the flesh that sins. And the reason I'm saying it's arrogant, like verse 17, it's no more I that do it, but it's the sin that dwells in me. Verse 20, it says again, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. He said it twice in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so in a way, it's this weird thing that God's put us. It's like, I sinned, but hey, that wasn't me. whoa, you know, this is really mind-bending stuff, and it has a potential to really cause problems if we don't apply it properly. But what I'm saying here with this talk about forgiveness, it's like someone trespasses against you. Oh, it's okay. It wasn't them. It was sin that dwelt in them. You know, they're trying to follow God's ways, and they messed up because of sin. It wasn't them. You know, it's this funny thing that I still haven't got my mind around properly yet. But it's sin that drags us down. It's sin that causes confusion. God is not an author of confusion. It's sin. Envying, strife, that's sin. But we who are righteous before God, and our desire, our deep desire to forgive our brethren, our deep desire to have faith in God that he knows what he's doing, that he wrote this word for us to apply in our life, that deep faith, that is us. That is the purity of us before God. You know, when we shed the sin and we shed the flesh, we diminish it. And that's what God's trying to encourage us to do when we look at other spirit-filled people. You know, look at what they do, their determination, their priority in their life, that they acknowledge that, yeah, Jesus called them and they have a desire to follow his ways. That's what we need to look at. Luke chapter 23 and verse 27. Luke 23 and verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Okay, Jesus here is on the cross. Okay, he's hanging on the cross. And what he's saying, life's good. You know, things that are going on. Yeah, okay, there's Romans are ruling Palestine at the time, but things are good. We've got food on the table. We've got work, you know, children are healthy. Things are good. And what Jesus is saying, if this is a green tree, when things are going really good, and they're crucifying the Son of God, imagine what they do when it's dry, when there's a desperate thing in people to survive, you know? And so that's what he's saying is, look, put things into perspective. People do bad things, even when things are going really well. It's the nature of people. And so that's what Jesus is saying, just understand. And then it goes on. So the reason I read those verses out was for us to get a picture of where Jesus was coming from when he says the next bit. Okay, so keep in mind, he understands how bad people are. Even when things are going good in people's lives, they do things that are a bit rotten. And he knows that when things are bad and people are so desperate, they go to another depth. Okay, here in verse 32, and there was also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. So that finished up with those few verses. There's these people reviling Jesus Christ. It just keeps coming at Jesus. But Jesus somehow found it himself to say to his Father, Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is where I'm leading into a part of somehow our attitude toward those that aren't saved. You know, these were people that weren't saved. And Jesus Christ diminished it to the fact they don't actually know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. So forgive them, Lord. And he wants us to be like this for others that are outside the fellowship, not walking in spirit and truth, to have somehow this thing that we forgive them, and the reason we forgive them is because they don't know what they're doing. They have no idea. You know, like if they knew what they were doing, they'd be following God, and they'd have a pure heart and peaceable and all those things, righteousness, but they don't know what they're doing. We'll go over to another one, Acts chapter 7. Stephen, Acts chapter 7, famously stoned. And I'm sure you know the bit I'm going to read. Acts chapter 7. So this Stephen is filled with the Holy Spirit. He spoke in tongues. He was actually an elder in the church. You can read at the start of, or toward, a bit further back in chapter 7. Verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Okay? I like how Stephen looked up. He looked up. He bent his neck. He looked above the trouble around him. He looked above that. He had faith to look to God. God wants us to have faith to look above the trouble around us and look to him. And then he says, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, for they know not what they do." They don't have a clue what they do. And somehow, it's tough. And I must admit, you know, I tend to get passionate sometimes. And it's tough to look up and, "Lord, you deal with it. Help me to forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, I'll just follow your ways and apply your principles and your commandments and your ordinances in my life." But they forgive them, for they know not what they do. Romans chapter 12. So forgiveness is a very big part of being part of the kingdom of God. And we all have different experiences, different levels, and we'll never know the complexity of different people's experiences. So we can't say, "Oh, you wouldn't know because you haven't been through this," or "That person wouldn't know because they haven't been through it," because it's all different, okay? But the simple matter is the Lord's asked us to forgive. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. "Be of the same mind," okay? "One toward another. Mind not high things." You know, don't think, "Oh, you know, like I'm going through something really special here and that person did something really special to me, you know, so therefore my situation is different." Yes, turns out your situation is different. Everyone's situation is different, but we are all of the same mind, one toward another. God's asked us to forgive. "Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." And that's important. So many times it's repeated in the scriptures. "Do not that which is wise in your own eyes. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Even if you're surrounded by dishonesty, you're still honest. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And it turns out what lies in us? The Holy Spirit. Okay? So it is possible. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's what lies in us. And through the Spirit, we can live peaceably with all men. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord.' Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt reap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Great practical advice. Great practical advice. You know, this is where the faith comes in. I have faith that the Lord will deal with it. And the reason being, vengeance is mine. That's what God says. Leave it up to God. Vengeance is mine. and we encounter issues with people that are out in the world. You know, they've got agendas that are different to our agenda. And the Lord's asking us to still be kind, wave, smile, even though inside you're burning with fury. Because it heaps coals of fire on their head and they'll realise, wow, these people are nice, you know, and leave it up to the Lord. Don't meddle with God's business. Okay, we know from personal experience, if we start meddling with God's business, it doesn't work out as well. If you leave God's business to God, it works out beautifully, wonderfully. And that encouragement, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, like it's water that douses the fire, not fire. You get a bigger fire, so you douse the fire with water. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So in other words, you just continue sinning. It's like, oh, forget about what God says. I'm going to follow my own ways. You know, it's basically those that have fallen away. You know, that's what it's referring to. Verse 27. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So here's another aspect. You know, we went through about forgiving our brethren, you know, those that are walking in the Spirit and truth. We went through another bit, those that are unsaved, don't know God, you know, completely away from the kingdom of God. And here we've got another one, those that are Spirit-filled, and yet are not walking on. They're doing that which is wise in their own eyes. The Lord's still asking us here that vengeance belongs to him. He will recompense, saith the Lord. Leave it up to him. Now look, we all know, like if someone keeps doing trespassing against, there's caution. We always have caution, right? We're not back at the same point. It takes time to get back at the same point. You have that caution. There's that wisdom that comes from heaven. You know, that gentle caution until they come around and you can get back to where you were at the start. But it does start with forgiveness, okay? It starts with that. It's the flesh and the sin that's in us that creates that caution. And there is wisdom, definitely wisdom in that, in dealing with these matters. And so that's why if someone falls away and decides not to come to the fellowship anymore, I ask for a one-on-one meeting with them to sort out things, to make sure that their mindset's right, you know, that their priorities are right, and that they want to put the Lord first now, and that the issues that they had before are not going to confront us again and disrupt and cause disunity amongst the brethren, you know. So there's that forgiveness, yes, but there's that caution as well. And that's the wisdom and how to apply these balance. But when we're dealing with these things, we don't recompense evil for evil. Still remember that vengeance belongs to the Lord. You know, it belongs to him. He'll judge people. We are free from that responsibility. And I've spoken to Pastor Kevin a lot over the last couple of years. Of course, he's had many years of experience. And he refers to instances here and there quite flippantly, really, but a lot of knowledge is gained. And he might allow someone who's Spirit-filled back into the fold, but they've still brought their baggage with them, that disruptive nature. But the idea is, yeah, trust the Lord. The Lord will expose it. And even here in Bunbury, in the last couple of years, we've seen that ourselves, haven't we? You know, we applied that nature of forgiveness. We've got to give them another chance. But the Lord exposed it quickly. You know, it was in the Lord's. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It wasn't on our own shoulders. And that's what the Lord's saying. All these great examples put into practice where the scriptures are applied. and we see wonderful examples. As long as from our simple little way, in our own little human being, we forgive and we have that forgiveness and mercy in our heart, and vengeance is up to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're all people. We flop along, doing the best we can, you know. Flop along, doing the best we can, learning from past experience, trying to apply the scriptures, making mistakes, doing things right. As long as at the deep within us is that desire to follow God's commandments and that forgiveness. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king, or honour principalities and rulers. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You know, in other words, everyone, good and bad. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if, when you be buffeted your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his footsteps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So of all the examples, Jesus Christ was amazing. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Vengeance is yours, Lord. That's what it's saying. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. God, you judge righteously. You have a clarity that nobody else does. I mean, we want to grow to that clarity through the Spirit, that perfection. But he's the one. Even Jesus Christ himself left it up to God. Okay? You've got it in hand, Lord. But Jesus Christ from his heart said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Last scripture, James chapter 5. And I was just thinking then, nowadays, you know, a lot of people do justify retribution. You know? It's very common that people don't seem to want to be satisfied unless there's retribution. But it's different to what the Lord has asked us to be like. James chapter 5 and verse 8. Be ye also patient. Okay, there's patience involved when you're forgiving. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy, which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Okay, this is for us to remember. I mean, it draws upon the patience of Job, and you can read it. Read it plainly, how he was blessed abundantly. He lost everything. Absolutely everything. And the Lord blessed him abundantly because of his patience and his trust in the Lord. And it says here, we can draw upon, look, the Lord is very pitiful. He's very compassionate. He is all-knowing. Okay, he's very compassionate. He understands what's going on in our lives better than we do. So he's asking us to simplify it and just have that forgiveness, and he'll deal with it with his compassion and his mercy and his grace. And it's that the reason I wanted to finish on these scriptures is to be patient. You know, wait on the conclusion of the Lord. Okay? Trust in him and have that faith. Okay, thank you.